Come today. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Studios. Chiefs, Raiders, Sunday at 3:25 right here on 96.5 The Fan, KFNC-FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 Kansas City, in Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. You know what will interrupt me watching the World Series when I get back from the Fans Football Show on Friday night? I actually want to see Boise State and UNLV. State's 5-1, UNLV 6-1. Austin Jeanty, gotta watch this guy play. Man, Austin Jeanty's just a stud.
I would probably watch that over the World Series if I'm being honest.
I would too. And you know, the thing is, Ohtani and Judge, these World Series games have been fun, but it is the two highest paid payrolls, and the drama's just not there. At least, I am curious. The New York market and LA market, watching it, how much interest is in between?
I mean, there's probably going to be like a lot of interest because it's two biggest markets in the country. And Shohei Ohtani is very, very popular outside of the United States. I'm sure that Rob Manfred is very happy about the results there.
MLB's doing cartwheels.
Oh, yeah. They're just, I'm sure that they were high-fiving each other at MLB headquarters.
Could have got the Mets, Dodgers, and Mets, but the Yankees and Dodgers is just something different.
That's different, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure they're very, very happy with the result of
that. They lead the AL and they lead the NL as far as World Series appearances.
But I personally don't really care.
But I'm watching Boise State and UNLV on CBS Sports Network.
I'd rather watch Aston Jeanty go out there and try to run for 200 yards.
Rutgers playing USC. Again, that big-time Big Ten matchup between Rutgers and USC.
Yeah,
that has to be just about the two furthest places away from each other playing in a conference game. Rutgers, USC. I mean, I've seen Miami play Washington and Oregon and stuff like that, but Rutgers and USC, that's a hell of a flight.
Yeah, that's one you'll be on there for a while. You got to stretch out once you get off that plane.
Which these teams have had trouble in the Big Ten as far as going the two time zones. The one that do it was Kurt Cignetti at Indiana when he went out and beat UCLA. Do you remember when he went on McAfee last week? He's like, we had dinner at 8, went to bed, got up, kicked their ass, came home. That's Kurt Cignetti. College game day is going to be at Indiana. That's been fun to watch as well. You into the storylines of the college football playoffs or anything? You following like Indiana, what they're doing this year, being undefeated? And
I mean, I haven't paid much attention.
It's fun to watch
Indiana,
what they're doing.
But
well, they're undefeated, and the Rourke could make himself into the second round, first round as a quarterback, but he's hurt this week, not going to play this week.
Yeah. I haven't been following as much about Indiana, but yeah.
They put 56 points on Neb and didn't have their starting quarterback in the second half. That was unbelievable. You know what was a truly unbelievable storyline? And might as well give this guy a huge shout out. Brady Cook, the quarterback of Missouri. He leaves the game, gets an MRI during the game, and comes back to it. When have you ever seen that, Chris? He was in a truck, right? Going through the tailgates and everything else. He was riding with somebody going to the hospital. They're like looking at him like, what's Brady Cook doing leaving the game? And then he comes back and wins the game at the end.
Well, you don't see very many players get MRIs during it. You'll see x-rays, but you don't see very many players get MRIs. But also, Mizzou is desperate to win because if they would have lost that game, the college football playoff is off the table if they lose to Auburn. Like, that would have been real tough to come back from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they
and Auburn hadn't won a game in the SEC yet.
I get why they brought him back because, yeah, they lose that game to Auburn. Yeah, you're going to have a hard time justifying the college football playoff.
Army-Navy's been a fun story.
That's a great story.
A rank. Both of them ranked the first time since 1960. Did you see what that quarterback, Bryson Daly's doing at Army? I mean, do you see the numbers he's putting up? Yeah, he had 7-for-10 for 147 a touchdown. That's fine. But he ran for 171.
His rushing numbers are really impressive.
He's one of the leading rushers in the nation. Like, Bryson Daly is a stud at quarterback.
Yeah, his passing numbers aren't great, but his rushing numbers are great.
But they run the ball. That's all they do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's ground and pound, but Army-Navy has been a fun story as well. I think college football is fun. We got the Sunflower Showdown this weekend. Batman, by the way, has been tweeting in or texting into the text line, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, how KU's going to thump K-State. I will remind people, and I have no dog in this fight, but K-State's beaten KU 15 straight times. KU has the overall series lead, but K-State's won the last 15.
I appreciate the bravado. That's cool that you support your team, but like, let's be real.
Are you supporting them at Arrowhead?
Let's be real.
When they played a homecoming game in another state?
I mean, let's just keep it a buck. KU probably about to get thrashed.
Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah,
DJ Giddens probably going to run for like 150, 200 yards.
DJ Giddens, the only guy to run for over 100 on Colorado. Because Colorado is much different. That's a hell of a win they had.
He is about this past weekend. Arizona's not that good.
Did you watch any of the K-State West Virginia game?
A little bit. Yeah.
I mean, both teams. I mean, West Virginia is very desperate. Morgantown's not the easiest place to go play. The one thing I noticed of this game, Chris, we'll see about you. Xavier Johnson, we know he can run. I mean, he's lightning fast when he runs. He didn't run in that game at all. There was no carries for Avery Johnson. He sat back. He threw for almost 300 yards and three touchdowns. To me, and we already seen him come back the week before, where he threw the pick, then he comes back and he wins the game at the end for Kansas State. But having him just back up as a quarterback and didn't run at all, that showed me a ton in Avery Johnson and what Kansas State has to look forward to.
I think it's a good sign because, one, I think if you want to try to go pro, you got to show what you can do in the pocket. If you're just throwing on the run and, you know, if you're carrying the ball 15 times a game as a quarterback, it's going to be real hard for you to make a case, put a lot of good tape out there for scouts at the NFL level.
298, three touchdowns.
Yeah, like you, and not only that, but just like in terms of like being a real danger and threat to opposing defenses, you got to be able to win from the pocket too. And that's the one thing I've been, you know, looking for from Avery Johnson all year long. Can you win from the pocket? And this was an encouraging sign for me watching him to be like, okay, he's giving you something because he is able to throw from the pocket. I want to see him do more of that this year.
Yes, KU, looks like Batman's chiming in. I do want to hear from Batman and his KU love on this. KU did win, big win, but it was against Houston. And the only thing going good for Houston is Willie Fritz. Guy's from here. And he played at Pittsburgh State. Willie Fritz, the coach of Houston. That's the only thing. Jalen Daniels actually had a good game. Devin Neal had over 100 yards again. What else do you expect from him? He does it each and every week. But K-State, man, 6-1. The Big 12 conference looks tough, man, because you got Iowa State's undefeated, BYU's undefeated, K-State's right there. And, hey, Colorado, I know they have two losses, but that is a much different Colorado's team.
I don't know if they're that much different.
Batman and KC.
Beekster, you know it's always a pleasure for me to call in there because I don't really have too much to argue with you about anytime because you're just a machine. A human machine. But I'm KU alum, you know that. And we've had a few years in the past where, you know, some great efforts, or individual efforts, have been very close to beating them here and there. And the thing of it is, as bad as this year started out for a very promising team, we have great, great people up there. We don't get to play on our own home field, for one thing. But I'd say this is one of the best chances we've had in years. To not give them a good game, I mean, to take it and to beat them and get the Sunflower Cup game.
Batman, you've been smoking that Houston win.
No, man, I'm not smoking it because the deal of it is it's in the win. It's everybody else is smoking it, and all I got to do is go ahead and get the second hand smoke. But, you know, the deal of it is, listen, that offense, anybody could throw the ball.
Here's the last five scores, Batman. In Lawrence, it was 31-27 last year. KU was...
Now, that's good. That's close.
But KU was a different football team last year. They're much better. The year before that, in Manhattan, was 47-27 Kansas State. The year before that, in Lawrence, was 35-10 Kansas State. The year before that, in Manhattan, was 55-14 Kansas State. The year before that, in Lawrence, it was 38-10 Kansas State.
You're exactly right. But those last two games, do you remember watching the Kansas scoring 18 passes in a row, and then the thing blew out of his hand, and then we got torched after that? But I'm guaranteeing this will be a good game.
Batman. Your Bean was carrying the load last year, man.
I would like to see him this year, but we got to give the Nature Boy, we got to give him his due. I mean, he did a lot to come back.
Well, KU's definitely on house money in this one. There's nothing to lose.
Well, give it. I'll call you back on it, Bingston. Yeah, I'm going to brew some gravy. You know what I mean? One of these days I'll meet you at Free State. We'll have to serve us gravy.
Batman, you're the best, man. Hey, call in next week if KU beats Kansas State. I want to hear. And call in if Kansas State spanks that ass, too.
Man. You and Chris are Chico and Cisco.
Thanks, Batman. But I want to hear you call in if Kansas State spanks that ass. Well, you do it both ways.
Because I was Big Red One, and my second favorite team was right out there in Manhattan.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to – it's got to be fair. You got to call in if they win, but given the opportunity, please call if they lose, too. I think KU might be in a world of hurt against K-State.
Oh, might be.
I think it will be.
I mean, don't say,
hey, they beat Houston. Everybody beats Houston.
They've been getting clapped this year. Like, no, I'm good on that. Like, I thought that the Jayhawks had a chance to be good this year, and they proved me wrong. So
I still need to raise money for those renovations they're doing.
Yeah, they do. They're going to be playing at other stadiums for a little while.
I know. That was weird seeing their homecoming game, their 122nd homecoming at Arrowhead in a different state.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I guess it's better than playing your homecoming at Sporting.
I mean, you know.
Hold more people.
Some of those guys probably never get a chance to play another NFL stadium ever again. So.
Yeah, they get a chance to play at Arrowhead, right? The Kingdom, right? Their commercials.
Do you think, though? The Knicks are getting killed right now. They're down by 27.
27?
20, it's the third quarter. They have given up 111 points, and there is still just under a minute. They have given up a game's
in Boston,
worth,
right?
Yeah, it's in Boston. They have given up a game's worth of points in the third quarter. 111. Like, there's a lot of teams that will average that in a game. They've given that up in three quarters. They are getting smacked around right now. This is bad.
Hey, what's the other game on night? Timberwolves and Lakers.
Timberwolves and Lakers. That might be more entertaining. They just cut the lead. They just cut the deficit down to 24.
How about that?
They cut it down to 24. This is a comeback here. No, it's down back up to 26.
So you're going to see baby Bron in this game with LeBron?
No.
And then he'll get shipped off the G League?
He's not going to get shipped off. That's LeBron's kid.
You think
that's LeBron's kid? He playing 20 minutes.
He's
going to play 20 minutes. He's going to average 1.6 points per game. No.
When do they get the photo op, though? First quarter?
Yeah, easy. They're gonna get. He's probably gonna check in late. They'll play like a minute together before LeBron gets his 4 minute break, and then look, Bronny's not good. He's not an NBA player right now.
No,
maybe he turns into like a decent backup point guard in the future. But like, he should have stayed at USC. But I'm sure he was like, I don't know if my dad's gonna play after this year. And I think they both wanted to play with each other, even though I think LeBron kept saying he didn't, but he did. So, you get your 1 year playing together. If LeBron wants to call it quits, he can call it quits. And then after that, the reality will set in for Bronny.
Like, we see in other sports, we saw the Griffies play together. The NFL, I wish Frank Gore would have played to play with Frank Gore Jr.
That would have been hilarious.
We don't see it.
Frank Gore would be averaging like 2.6 yards per carry, and then his son's out here playing as well.
As old as Tom Brady played. I mean, that could have happened. His kid's obviously much younger.
Yeah, but like if you're talking about last until you're 45. Ain't no running back last until you're 45.
No.
You barely see running backs make it past 30.
Well, you see Mahomes' kid play? With Mahomes?
I don't want to put that pressure on Bronz
to have to go in and be a
quarterback. I'm kind of rooting for Bronz to not be into sports. I want Bronz to be a scientist or something, because I think that's a lot of pressure to have to back up, follow in the footsteps of maybe the greatest player in NFL history, and I wouldn't want that pressure. Like, I hope Bronz ends up being like a groundbreaking like scientist or something, so he doesn't have to live with the pressure of having to be Patrick Mahomes' son as a football player. Because, man, like, I'll tell you this, man, that's just a lot of pressure. Look at Michael Jordan's kid. I don't even know his name. Like, I forgot the dude's name.
Wasn't he dating Pippen's ex-wife or something?
Yeah, he's messing around with Pippen's ex-wife. Like, that's the most
Pippen's
notable
gotta
thing.
Love that.
He hates it. That's the most notable thing Michael Jordan's son has done in his life was I think they're engaged or were engaged. I think they might have broken up recently. But they were together at one point, and that's the most notable thing he's done. That's a lot of damn pressure. Like, so I hope Bronz ends up in the sciences or something. He ends up in like becomes an astrophysicist or something. I want him to do that, because that's a lot of pressure following the footsteps of maybe the greatest quarterback of all time.
I'm looking forward to seeing him play at Texas Tech and then the NFL.
Hey, what if he ended up going to Texas? What if he said, I'm going to go play at Texas?
Sarkisian pulls that one off. If he's still there.
Sark probably not going to be there at that point.
Yeah, Sark, a little bit.
That would be hella job security for Sark if he did.
Coming up next, I didn't get into that Andy Reid and best coaching job. We'll do that because we were having a little fun with college football. We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
At Shane Company, we make finding your perfect engagement ring fun and easy.
Troy, welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Just ask your smart devices to play 96.5 The Fan, and it will. It'll 100% do it. You can even ask to do 610, and it'd still do it, I think. Do you listen to 610, Chris, or do you listen to 96.5?
96.5? Yeah.
I didn't know if you're old school. Like, hey, man, I got to still listen to AM.
As soon as we was on FM, I was like, that's it.
It's a game changer for you.
Yeah, no, it sounds way better. I've been waiting for this day. I've been waiting for it for 11 years now.
I used to listen to it on HD2, though, because it sounds really good.
Yeah, no, I was like, bro, as soon as we got on FM, I was like, that's it. I'm not 610, unless I have to listen to it on AM. I'm not listening to it on AM.
I mean, it's weird. Everybody here is like, we used to have the AM wing and we used to have the FM wing, right? Like, we don't even have our own bathroom here. It's on the FM side.
Well, we didn't have because 98.1's FM.
Well, too. They are now, but they used to not be.
They've been FM for like 7 years.
For a while, but they were AM before that. It was 98.1.
Actually, they were both. They were both.
But then they switched, and then we've switched, and everybody.
But no, we're actually separated by content because this is the talk side, and the other side is the music side. That's what it was.
Yeah, but still, I mean, we need the bathroom on this side.
Yeah, we do have to go to the music side.
Because I've locked myself out for getting my key before, so.
Yeah, I've only done it once.
Yeah, you have done it.
Yeah, I've done it once, and Hartzell had to let me in.
I've done it and yelled and banged the doors and everything else because I had my cell phone in here. I couldn't call.
Luckily, Hartzell came up to do something for promotions, and he let me in. So I was like, cool, we're good.
Text line, J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Is this Andy Reid's best year of coaching? I get it. It's a little bit early. You want to see what happens at the end of the year. I will say this. If they go all the way, 100% it is. And I felt last year was his best job coaching, considering not having a ton of talent, but still finding a way to get this team ready to win. And not only that, going on the road and win, which – I brought up those numbers many times before. Mahomes is a better quarterback on the road than he is at home. I mean, it's just fact. He's throwing for 1,300 more yards playing, 20 more touchdowns, playing just one more game on the road, and everybody wanted to make a big deal of it nationally about Mahomes winning on the road. Well, of course he will. This is Andy Reid's best year, though, considering what he's been dealt with and the fact that he thought he had one team and then in training camp then had a completely different team and had a reverse course. He's only been coach of the year one time. That was the Sean Barber-led Eagles in 2002. That's it. That's the only time he's been coach of the year. Dude, his staff that year was like Ron Rivera and Sean McDermott and all these NFL coaches, and John Harbaugh and all those guys that were on his staff. But this is best year coaching considering what he's been dealt with. And just like keeping the locker room as cool and as calm as it is. I mean, they have a lot of fun. This team knows when to win. And I never thought so much as a few years ago in the snow game against Denver. Right there, they're making snow angels before the game and all that. But then when it's game time, they know when to flip the switch. They know when to flip the switch and get to work. And that's exactly what they do. They work hard and they play hard, but they know what to do when it's game time.
And this is the reason why, like, I don't think Coach of the Year matters so much, because it's not given out to the best coach. It's generally given out to the coach that, like, has the biggest turnaround or something, or has a quick rise when people didn't expect it. And, like, because of that criteria, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, I know people hear harp on so much, oh, he's only won one coach of the year in his career and all that. I don't care. Just like, I mean, look, it's to me, it's like Pro Bowl, number of Pro Bowls a player had. I don't care because, like, it's.
Well, that's a joke. It's too hard.
So is the coach of the year stuff, too, because it's like there's a lot of. Andy should have won more than just the one that he's had. And so, like, to me, that's the reason why this stuff, like, I'm not going to harp on it because I don't care. And I don't think Andy cares. Andy's not sitting here disappointed every year when he doesn't win it. Because, like, it doesn't matter. All he cares about is winning titles.
He cares about
playoff
Super
games.
To be honest with you, Chris, I don't care. And it's weird because I do like this stuff. Like, I do like the MVP. I love the Heisman Trophy. I like things like that.
I like stuff like
but
that.
But you know what, though? I am all for, unless you're going to wait till the end of the year, don't vote, and you vote on it then, don't do it. It doesn't mean anything. Do you remember when Ned Yost wins the World Series in 15 and he went in 14? He wasn't even close to winning Manager of the Year. Not even close to winning it.
Because
voting is done
earlier.
Because
it's a popularity contest, and it's just, you know, it's there's flawed perception in it.
Because Buck Showalter, I think, got it, and Ned rolled him. in the playoffs. Just like I mentioned, the NFL Top 100, they vote around Thanksgiving. Clearly, what you do from December and January onto the Super Bowl matters most. Now, they said they were going to do this. They tried to convince the voters, Chris, and I think they're going to do it. The NFL Comeback Player of the Year, they want it to go what it's rightfully for. Not if you sucked and then are good like a Flacco, but coming back like a DeMar Hamlin or something, coming back from an injury, because that's really the true spirit of what Comeback Player of the Year is.
I think it could be both, because
have two different awards.
No, just make it the same as just whoever has the more impressive comeback. Just do that. Because I think it could be both. I think it is impressive when a player sucks and then has a great year, especially if it's like a player that's like, we thought you were good and then you weren't and then you were good again. Like, to me, that is an impressive comeback, because we don't always have a DeMar Hamlin every year. So,
well, obviously.
Yeah, so it's like I think that you can do both. Like, I think you could do both in those situations.
I just think you should always wait until the end for voting. I always thought that you should wait until the end of the championship series.
Like, oh, yeah, but like,
it means something. Like, I understand. Like, Q, I think, will get manager of the year in baseball. He should, because you lose 106 games and then you make the playoffs and go to the second round. 100%, you should be the manager of the year. But again, I always hate that they vote on these things way too early. I want to know the guy that wins. And a classic example is NFL Coach of the Year last year. It was Kevin Stefanski. He's won it twice. He's won double the times that Andy Reid has. The Cleveland head coach who got his ass kicked by Houston, and the real winner of Coach of the Year should have been D'Amico Ryans. He gets rolled by him because the voting was already in. Clearly, it would have been D'Amico Ryans over Stefanski had they waited.
I don't know. They might have still done it. There might have still been a lot of people that did it.
After he rolled
him,
though?
It was a very impressive performance, because he was playing with Joe Flacco, who just came off the street. So
But he was winning with an Ohio State quarterback.
Like, no, I was, because like CJ Stroud was the truth. He was for real. He was for real. But like, no, that was a great coaching job by Stefanski last year. I got to give him credit for that. But my thing is, this is just like,
Nagy's won it as much as Reed.
Yeah, again, I don't think it matters. I don't care about the coach.
It doesn't matter. And Chris, you know, the night before the Super Bowl, they do the award ceremony where they do like assistant coach of the year and all this, play of the year. You know, the Chiefs didn't have anybody in anything, like no categories, and they won the Super Bowl back to back.
That
shows you, I know, but that shows you how valuable these awards really are.
Yeah, that's why I don't get up in arms about them, because it's like,
I do like the Heisman, though. I'm not going to lie.
You know,
I do like it.
It did more for me back in the day. It doesn't really.
I mean, I like watching Mike Garrett go out there and present it.
I like it. I don't know. It doesn't feel the same like it used. Like, for me, I think the mystique kind of fell when they like took away Reggie Bush's Heisman.
They gave it after back that though.
They gave it back, but it took him until this year to.
He's
do
in the
it.
Heisman house now.
Like, it took him until this year to do it. Like, he had he's suing them for that whole deal. Like, to me. Yeah, I'm not too, like I said, the Heisman doesn't do it for me like it used to.
Did you see where former athletes going back to like 2015 NCAA can sue for money?
Yeah.
Before they.
They should.
Yeah, but I think 2015 was the cutoff.
Yeah, I think all those guys, I think Terrell Pryor, isn't Terrell Pryor suing them? Because if he isn't.
He should be.
He should. Jim Tressel should sue.
I mean, he got in trouble for selling like some of his
trading,
Ohio State
He was
gear.
Trading some of his memorabilia for tattoos.
Which they give them to him for free at the bowl games and everything
He was trading memorabilia for tattoos, and that ended his career. No, he should sue.
Harbaugh couldn't even buy a pizza for somebody and was in trouble for that. You know, technically you could have bagels, but couldn't put cream cheese on bagels.
Right.
Like, that's how ridiculous some of these rules
they
were.
They punished a player for eating too much spaghetti at a dinner once.
They once
using campus water to wash their car.
Yeah, exactly. It was a Division III tennis player, girls tennis player in California, had to pay back a water bill for washing her car.
Right.
That's how Division III tennis player.
Yeah. Like that to me is where we should be hitting them at. That's the reason why I like a lot of that mystique and pageantry that you've been seeing with.
Yeah.
I've kind of lost it, because like, they're protecting this amateurism thing. They're trying their damnedest to protect this amateurism thing, and they've been screwing these players over trying to do it.
913, the 49ers player that got shot in the chest and returned to the team a couple months later is going to win it. Pearsall should win it, because
he probably will.
Ricky Pearsall, he played this week, which is crazy.
Ricky, did Brian Brian Robinson Jr. win it 2 years ago when he got shot? He should have.
But Pearsall is going to get a lot of action, too, because he's the best receiver they have right now. With Debo, he's got released from the hospital.
Juwan Jennings,
is he going to play this week? Because he was out last week. He's the leading receiver.
If he can play, he's better than Pearsall.
Oh, 100%.
But if he can't.
So is Ayuk. But
if he can't, then it'll probably be Pearsall.
NFL Comeback Player of the Year. It's Flacco, Geno Smith, Joe Burrow, Alex Smith, Ryan Tannehill, Andrew Luck, Keenan Allen.
So no Brian Robinson Jr.
Jordy Nelson, Eric Berry going back to 15. And obviously we know about coming back from cancer with Berry.
Yeah, that was really impressive.
Some of this is because you sucked and then are good, and some of this because you were injured and then good.
I think you should be able to get it if you sucked. I think that's a good part of the story, too. I think because not everyone has the DeMar Hamlin story.
But I don't think coaches should be rewarded for sucking and then being good again next year, because then you're ruling out a guy like Andy Reid that's been to 6 straight AFC title games.
I mean, I think you should at least be. I think you should at least be in consideration, because I do think it is an impressive performance when you suck and then you don't suck anymore.
One of the hardest things to do is to repeat. One of the hardest things to do is repeat.
Yeah, and one of the hardest things to do is to be good. There's a lot of guys that are not good at this, so I'm fine with that.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at who's good and who's bad. What NFL teams you buying that actually have a chance for the Super Bowl? Next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Paid for client portrayal and endorsement. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Past results afford no guarantee of future results, and every case is different and must be judged on its own merits.
After my car wreck.
And welcome back, 96.5, The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, on this Tuesday night in Kansas City. Chiefs Raiders this weekend. Can't wait for that. Going into the season, Chris, who did you have on the top bar? And I'm talking about NFL teams. Now, I had the Chiefs, obviously. I was curious about the Bengals. I didn't quite have the Bengals on that top tier like the Chiefs. Had the Chiefs. Had the Ravens still, and Houston was knocking on the door. Houston was on that bar underneath it. Baltimore, I thought they're not going to take a step back, because clearly I believed in Derrick Henry going to that team. I will say this, Mike McDonald, they're not calling that defense, has changed things. Baltimore does have the 32nd ranked pass defense, 14 yards a game worse than the Jacksonville Jaguars at 31, and they're 25th in the NFL at points against. But I think that that offense and Jackson and those receivers and with Derrick Henry, they deserve to be on the top bar. I think it's the Chiefs right now, and it's Baltimore. I know Buffalo has looked good at times, but before last week's thrashings of the Titans, which they suck, the Bills beat the Titans at home. The week before, they damn near lost to the Jets. Jets missed 2 field goals in that game. That would have been the 3rd straight loss for Buffalo. I don't want to totally buy into Buffalo because it's what they do. I mean, last year they were so up and down. They could have either been the 2nd seed or not even in the playoffs at all if they came down to that Miami game and they won, so they were the 2nd seed. But right now, Kansas City and Baltimore are the class of the AFC with, and I think Cincinnati will start playing again because this is what they do every single year. And I put the Houston Texans right there as well. They need Nico Collins back, but I put them right below it.
So right now in the AFC, I've got Chiefs, Ravens, Texans. That's it.
Oh, so you have the Texans on the top bar.
Those to me are the 3 teams. Like,
I wanted to see them back it up, and they have.
Yeah, the Texans have been really good. I mean, the loss that they had to the Packers, I think, was a bit of a step back. Because, like, the really good teams go on the road and win those games.
I
know,
I know. I felt the same way.
So, like, that's a bit disappointing, but, like, they can make up for that later in the season. They're still, again, this is a team that is learning how to compete at that high level. But I do think that the Texans are a really good team. But, yeah, those are the only 3 teams. I know the Bengals, oh, yeah, they start off this year every year. Their defense is awful. And the problem is that they're gonna have to start facing some of these better teams. That a lot of their wins have been coming off of the easier teams they've been playing, but when they've played the good teams, they haven't done a lot of winning against them. So I'm not really that high on them. I mean, you know, they faced off against the Browns this this past weekend, and they really didn't look that good against the Browns. And I know the Browns have a pretty good defense.
Nobody is. Even Philadelphia didn't look good at them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But it's like, look, you are – you're like, you got to go out here and take care of business against the bad teams. And they're just barely squeaking by against a lot of these teams. And then they go out and they play the good teams and they don't win. So I don't believe in them. Their defense isn't that great. Their offense is fun to watch. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is having a great year. And Higgins is, you know, ever since he came back from his injuries, looked really good. And Burrow's having an awesome year. But, like, I just don't think this team, as currently constructed, is built for a long run.
They need to take the L's, though, because I think they could be dangerous in the postseason.
Yeah, they could. They could. They usually are.
Does another AFC West team make the playoffs? Because I don't think they do. I was thinking the Chargers would, but I don't think so anymore.
I never believed in the Chargers. The purge of those wide receivers.
What
to
about
me
the four win Broncos?
No, dude. Right now the Broncos are doing the exact thing they did in 2011 when they had Tebow as their starting quarterback.
And last year, remember they went on a run last year and almost made the playoffs?
Yeah, but like this is different. Like this to me reminds me a lot of like 2011 where you just like you're dragging the corpse of your quarterback along and you're running the football and playing defense and you just hope your quarterback doesn't suck too much to lose you games. Like I'm going to tell you this right now, Bo Nix is not a good quarterback right now. Maybe he becomes one in the future, but he looks awful right now. And they're going to lose some games down the stretch that put them out of contention. They're 4-3 right now. They played a really easy schedule. When they start playing some of these better teams like the Chiefs and whatnot, life's going to get real hard for them, and people are going to be asking questions about Sean Payton here pretty soon.
I do consider Harbaugh the second-best coach in this division, even though Payton's got the ring.
Yeah, but that's just because, you know, I don't think Payton's that dude anymore, and the other option is Antonio Pierce. Like, I mean, if I were putting together top five coaches in the AFC, he wouldn't be in the top
five.
Like,
does Harbaugh end up in the NFL if he wasn't going to get slapped by Michigan?
No.
Because he was slapped by the NCAA everywhere he turned.
No. If he didn't think he was about to get hit with the show cause, he would have stayed in Michigan.
NFC, are you buying into the NFC? I will say this, and I know CDOT went from Chargers.dot to Washington Commanders.dot. Washington's fun to watch, man. I know Jaden Daniels was banged up last week, but remember they went two straight weeks without even punting. I love it with Eckler. They ran one of my favorite plays I've seen in the NFL this year, 2 weeks ago, Chris. They did the flea flicker, you know, back to the quarterback, but instead of throwing it deep like most of those happen, Eckler was chipping as a block that he went out and got a 25-yard gain. I love the approach to do a short. It wasn't a check down either. It was a design play. You know, to be short instead of long. I love that. But Commanders are fun to watch.
They're a fun team to watch. So I do enjoy watching, but I don't think they're a real contender. Their defense is terrible.
Not yet. They're not a contender, but
their defense is terrible. And the one thing that concerns me is, like, what happens the longer you go into a season, you start playing better defenses over time, and teams start getting more tape on you. And they figure out what you're doing. They figure out your tendencies. And when that happens, we always see that happen with a lot of these quarterbacks. They come in, they play a lot, we kind of figure out their tendencies, and then that's when things start getting difficult, and I wonder what's going to happen with Jaden Daniels when that happens. So I'm still, like, I'll say this, it's been real fun to watch them. They're real good. Their defense is real bad, and so they create a lot of shootout games that they're going to play in. But, yeah, I don't think that's going to last in the playoffs.
Who's the cream of the crop? Cream of the crop in the NFC, because San Francisco's obviously done with all his injuries, 3-4. Detroit, I want to say, is, because I like what Goff's doing. I like Dan Campbell's head coach. That team's buying into what he's doing. The Vikings, that was a good game. The good game between the Lions and the Vikings. Sam Darnold's having a resurgence, and I think that was stupid, that rumor about them trading for Stafford earlier this year. But if the Commanders are almost ready, and I don't think they're ready yet like you, I think it's going to take another year or so. But the Packers sitting right there at 5-2. The NFC North is crazy good. But Detroit, I think Detroit's the cream of the crop, and I think Minnesota's right behind them.
I don't believe in Minnesota because I don't – like, their defense is great, but, like, I think their offense – they remind me of the 17 Vikings, where it's like, you know, yeah, they, you know, besides, like, the Minneapolis Miracle, I mean – you know, they were a team that were way overperforming, and I kind of feel like that's what they are this year, is they're way overperforming. Great coaching job by O'Connell and by Brian Flores. But obviously Detroit, I'm a big believer in. don't sleep on the Bears. The Bears got a good defense.
I mean, Detroit's backing it up. That's one thing I like about them, because right. they went to the NFC title game, but they're backing it up. They're not just like one-hit wonders like we've seen with Jacksonville. Yeah.
And I didn't think they were going to be one-hit wonders because they're really built well. But yeah, don't sleep on the Bears, because Caleb Williams is starting to hit his stride. They got a lot of weapons around him, and their defense is a lot better than I thought they were going to be. They got some playmakers in there, you know, Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson, guys like that. They got a good defense. So yeah, the Bears, I think, are going to be a team to watch out for, especially in the playoffs. They might pull some upsets off. The Packers are really good. I mean, the NFC North is loaded.
It's ridiculous. As far as the NFC South, I like the Buccaneers because their offense, they were scoring. But
I liked the Buccaneers until
without one and two receiver.
Yeah, I really liked the Bucs until this past week. Like, they were one of my favorite teams in the NFC, and I think they're done now. In the AFC East, I mean, NFC East, I don't really like anybody there.
And I actually like Washington to win that division.
Yeah, the Eagles. Well, yeah. I like Washington to win that division.
I mean, the Eagles will make it interesting, obviously.
Eagles will, but I don't think they're well coached. And then, yeah, the NFC West, I mean, I think the 49ers will rebound from this.
That's a crap division.
But that's not a good division. I mean, I guess I think it's going to be one of those situations where, like, it doesn't look like anybody wants to win it until later in the season. And then maybe, like, the 49ers start to pull away and it's like them and the Seahawks and that's it. But, like, to be honest, the NFC just doesn't look that good this year aside from the North. Like, aside from the North, none of the other divisions really look that good. And, you know, like I said, in the North, really the Packers, Lions, and Bears are the three teams I'm looking at.
Yeah, I just know it's fun. It's what the NFL is, man. It's just drama. It's fun every week. It's the flavor of the weeks with the national media.
Teams
it's
just
fun.
Flip their identity year over year.
You watch the Chiefs will take a loss, and they'll go from one in the power rankings then like five or something.
Yeah, I mean it's, this
they will
is
drop
just,
them. They're just waiting to do that. They're just waiting to do that.
This is the beauty of the NFL, is that everything can turn so quickly. Negative or positive.
Like Buffalo last year, up, down. And then they almost didn't make the playoffs.
And then they got hot at the end of the year, finished with the 2 seed, and then they lost at home to the Chiefs.
And then the Chiefs were straggling around, losing on Christmas Day in epic fashion to the Raiders.
Everyone was digging their grave on Christmas Day, and then they win the Super Bowl.
All right, they turned it around. I mean, that week between that and the Bengals game for this team.
Yeah. That's the reason why we love football, is because the results that happen now don't prognosticate what's going to happen in the future.
It was a choose your own adventure book for the Chiefs. They're at a crossroads, dynasty or downfall. Yeah, they were at that point.
That's why we love this sport, man.
They chose dynasty.
Yeah, they did.
They chose dynasty. Come up next, though, Bill Belichick. It's been great in the media lately. Matter of fact, I even said that I think that he and Saban ought to do a podcast together, because I think it would be awesome. But he had some interesting things to say about the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll play that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Final segment, J.B. Inkley, Chris Nocero. By the way, the Celtics won 132-109 over the Knicks, so the Knicks are now out. But you said you're going to go home on TNT and watch Timberwolves-Lakers at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, when I get home, yeah. Oh, man, that was an ugly game. That game was done in the second quarter. It was over.
I'm glad TNT still has that pregame show. That's the best going right now.
For now.
For 1 year.
This is one more year.
Then who's going to hire Shaq and Charles?
I would assume NBC is going to pay top dollar to try to get all those guys over.
Oh, yeah. Pay more.
Them or Amazon. But if it's going to be somebody, I hope it's NBC.
Maybe Amazon doing that. You're right, 100%. Bill Belichick, he breaks down games great. He's going to be in the sideline next year. I think he's going to be in Dallas next year as a head coach. I think he goes there instead of the Raiders. Obviously,
Dallas, I don't think he's going to go to the Raiders.
No, because they don't have a quarterback, and he wants to catch Shula.
I mean, Dallas only if Jerry lets him be GM.
Yes, and Jerry's taking some criticism, and it's taken to heart. And I know Stephen runs that team too and everything, but for Jerry, the GM, to step back and let Belichick have some power. That's why he's not in Atlanta, because they wouldn't let him have that kind of control.
Right,
anyway, Belichick and Saban, I think, would have an awesome podcast. They're great when they're together. Anyway, they've been on the same coaching staff before and everything. But it was Belichick on Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Well, look, I don't think anybody in this league's unbeatable, but I think that they found a way to win here in spite of the situation that they've been in. They had some receiver issues in this game, as did San Francisco. You know, so they had a couple of guys that were hurt. Then Juju got hurt, you know, and they've had issues at running back. I think once they get everybody back out there, they'll be better offensively. But in the meantime, they find a way to win. And I think if you look at the end of the game, where Patrick's rating is like 44 or whatever it was, he's over there celebrating, high-fiving, happiest guy on the field that they won. And you win in a kicking game, you win on defense, and then you do enough on offense to win. Sometimes it goes the other way around. Sometimes they score 45 points and the defense gives up 42. But, you know, it's in this, he makes one play right here. And honestly, with everything else, it was one of the most important plays of the game down the sideline. So a good team does what they have to do to win. That's what a good team does. And, you know, could they play better? Sure. And I'm sure that Coach Reed will be on them today and tomorrow, Wednesday, about, hey, here's the things we got to improve. And if they improve them, they'll be even harder to beat.
And that's the best thing about it. They put their A game together. Yeah, they've been more complete the last 2 weeks, but this is what Andy Reid after the game on Sunday about locking in late games like Belichick's talking about.
I think it starts with your locker room, your coaches, and just you know, how do the guys like each other, like playing together? And then that whole trust thing that they develop with each other, I think, is important. Everything's not going to be roses when you're playing. You're going to have ups and downs in games. Very few teams go and win every game during a season. So you literally take it game by game and make sure you're taking care of business this week. And but I think the locker room has a big part of that. The coach's attitude with everything has a big part of that.
And I think we take it for granted sometimes too. Just like Belichick was talking about, Mahomes had a 44 quarterback rating, but he's over there high fiving everybody and getting ready. That's the toughest thing, just winning games. I think we take it for granted how difficult it is to win games in the National Football League. And trust is a huge factor, whether you can trust your teammates, because when you can trust them, you know, I brought it up on the Fans Football Show, and one thing I've learned a lot from Mitch and Desmond and JC and Dan and Hughes and all is the trust the players have with each other. And Pete Carroll wrote about that in his book he had, Winning Forever, when, you know, like your secondary, your safety, if he can trust that everybody in front of him is lined up and doing what they should be and he's not worried about them being in the right spot, he can go do his job. And if you can trust the guy next to you that he's going to do his job and you don't have to fill in kind of what he's doing or what he's doing wrong, and you can focus in on what you're doing, that's when you excel. And I think that's one thing that's made the Chiefs incredibly difficult to beat.
Yeah, I just think a lot of people are kind of blowing the style points part of it out of proportion. Not everybody is going to win sexy like that. There were a lot of those the three out of four that the Patriots won, they weren't winning sexy most weeks. This is just how football is. I think people are overblowing that part.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it took a late Vinatieri kick to win a game. It took the Tuck rule to beat the Raiders in the postseason. The bottom line is nobody cares, because at the end of the day, it's either a W or an L.
Nobody said those teams weren't great because they weren't dominating all those teams.
Yeah, like, in 10 years, it didn't matter. Did you win or did you lose the game? And how many rings did you have?
And it's going to be the same thing with these Chiefs, too.
Yeah. Bottom line is everybody's going to forget and move on to the next thing. That's typically what we do. Thanks for listening to the show, and I greatly appreciate you guys tuning in to 96.5 The Fan. Huge thanks to Chris Unocero. Don't forget to go download our latest podcast out on the 96.5 The Character Concerns podcast. We look at the draft in 2025.
We'd appreciate that.
This will be Chris and I's third draft, right? Third draft covering?
Yeah, it'll be the third draft, yeah.
Third draft. Anyway, thanks for listening. Fesco and Dusty tomorrow, 5:58 in the morning, and Mac Morey. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys later.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.